Good morning, church. Good morning. Happy Father's Day to all of you sitting here this morning. All the Father, we honor you. I honor you and say thank you for your commitment, your life, your passion to raise a family. That's a tough job, but you did it, and you're here, and your children are here. And if your children's in church, you've done a fantastic job. Hallelujah. If your children's not in church, you've still done a fantastic job. And allow the Holy Spirit to do His work. But the key thing is that you live the life that your children would see. That's the key thing. Because your children, you can't take your family to the place you are not in. Amen? If you're not at that place, do not bring your family there. If you're there and you know it's the place that is of truth, then you have all the right to bring your family there. Amen? And that's my advice to you fathers this morning. It's very important advice, and we must remember that. Hallelujah. Let's just pray for the word, and then we'll start, because this is a really important message for all the fathers this morning, but it's also for all the mothers, because I want all the mothers, to all your husband and your uncle and your wife, your children, all them accountable. Ooh, everybody went quiet. All them accountable according to the word of God and what they should be doing in the family. Amen? Hallelujah. All the fathers, listen to this message twice, if not three times. All the mothers, listen to it more than the fathers so that you can stand and correct them every time. Amen? And all the children, listen to it more and more so that you hold your father accountable. I mean it. Hold them accountable to their word, according to the word of God, and their lifestyle, their life that they live in a house. You hold them accountable, because it's important that they become great role models for you. Amen? Hallelujah. Father, I thank you for truth. I thank you that we have received truth. Jesus, you said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. That no one can come to the Father except through you. You, that narrow road that many are looking for. It's a hard road. There is no other road, oh God. We cannot create another path along that narrow road. It is only one road. That is the road of truth and the life. And you are the door, Father God. Jesus, you said, I am the way. And I thank you that you have given us the Holy Spirit to be able to bring us, oh God, to you, Jesus, that you can take us to the Father. Lord, we thank you for that great spirit of adoption, the Holy Spirit, that have adopted us, oh God. You have brought us to your Father and said to us, now call him your Father as well, because he is your Father. I thank you, Lord, that we are adopted into your family, the kingdom family, that you are, Lord, the elder in this family, and you're the high priest of this family. Father, I thank you. I pray that you hide me from your people, that, Lord, they only receive your word and nothing else, your truth and nothing else. They shall hear and know truth, and the truth shall set them free. Amen. Father, I thank you that I'm just a voice, and I speak as a voice for you. I pray that you anoint your word and watch over it to fulfill it over the people's life this morning. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. I'm excited because this is what? A very important time for all the fathers. And sometimes we just want to, bake him a nice cake and cook him a nice meal. But I want us to do more than that. I want us to always walk in honorable way towards our fathers, our uncles, respecting them, because that's God's principles. Amen. God says, honor your mother and your father, and you shall have long life. Everything that I speak to you here on this pulpit are principles of God's word. And the Bible says God's word is spirit, truth, and life. It is full of the formulas of life. What are formulas? Have you ever taken algebra in school? You very sharp scientist, scientific mind sitting here in this room today. Have you ever, I hate algebra. I hate maths. I see no reason for it. No, I'm joking. There are certain ways or formulas that we have to follow in order to solve a mathematical problem. Amen? If you've done algebra, you know. All you engineers say, amen. Principles are much more like formulas. They are set laws that govern life and are constant in the face of change. The key then is learning and understanding the principles so that you can handle any configuration, any problem, or any situation in life. When you understand the principles of life, it doesn't matter what the world or the life throws at you. You can plug the problem into the principle and see God work in your life. Our problem is we don't use principles in the church or in our lives. The great challenge for us is understanding life. And when life throws us a curveball, we often just play games with the problems and fake it. And many times we have to guess and then wonder endlessly if our guesses will work. Life, when life throws the curveball at you, everyone fakes it. And guessed and hoping that their guess work would help them survive through. What we lack is understanding. Hello, somebody. David, the great king of Israel, addressed this very issue. By divine inspiration, he spoke of the moral and social chaos in this community, or in his community at this time, and described the root cause of mankind's confusion, frustration, and self-destruction. This is a Father's Day message, man. I get this message today, fathers, men, children, son, and even you, mothers, get this message. Psalm 82, verse 5, this is what King David says, the greatest king of Israel. He says, they do not know, nor do they understand. They walk about in darkness. All the foundations of the earth unstable. Hallelujah. Then it says, this declares that the reason why the people of the earth are so confused and filled with problems is not because there are no answers, but because we don't understand our Creator. That's our problem. The Bible says, my people perish because of what? Lack of knowledge, not the devil. The devil is not our problem. And I said to you so many times, stop blaming the devil. Life is about choice and about the choices we make. The problem with us is we don't know his principles, his purpose, his nature, or his precepts. Psalm 82 identifies three progressive components that are the source of our suffering in life. That's everybody, not just the fathers. Number one, lack of knowledge. The Bible says they know nothing. Psalm 82 says that. Number two, there is a misunderstanding or misconception of life. They understand nothing. And then number three, there is a lack of spiritual sight. They walk in darkness. Darkness means ignorance. Light means truth. Amen? It's not the light and the dark thing that we talk about. The Hebrew translation for darkness is ignorance. And for light is truth. So when you receive truth, ignorance goes away. Hallelujah. This is a Father's Day service. Amen? And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. The power of the responsibility of a father I'm talking about this morning. Everyone in this room are presently affected by a great, great grandfather. Everyone, including me. And many of us, we don't deal with that generational curses, will always be harassed by this generational spirit. Hello, somebody. You can be saved, go into heaven, but you're going to be harassed by this spirit the rest of your life if we don't deal with it, if we don't speak about it, if we don't talk about it, if we don't share it with each other, if we don't break this thing over the head so that you are set free, enjoying the purpose of the life that God has given you on this earth. Hallelujah. We may be saved, but we will always be harassed by this spirit. Ezekiel chapter 18, verse 2 says, the fathers have eaten sour grapes, and the children's teeth are set on edge. Wow. Somebody ate sour grapes in the last generation, and it isn't the mothers. Hello, somebody. When God puts his principles in the Bible, he looks at the fathers, and he will all fathers and men accountable to everything inside family. That's why it says not the mothers that ate the sour grapes, it's the fathers, because the power of generation comes from the father. The father has a seed, not the mother. That's why Mary and Jane can create a baby. Oh, hello, somebody. That's why Adam and Steve can create a baby. It's Adam and Eve. It's a man and a womb man. The same spirit, but different functions. A womb man is a womb spirit. Womb spirit carries the womb. Amen. If you don't have a womb, you're a man. Amen. Oh, I better stop you. I'll go somewhere else. The generational impact of fathers must be fully understood. The fathers enjoy eating, but the pain afterwards is felt by the children. Remember this foundational scripture, Exodus chapter 20, verse 12. It says, honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long upon the land which the Lord, your God, is giving you. Amen. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 3 repeats the same command. It says, honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with you and you may live long on the earth. Hallelujah. Notice that long life is attached to honoring fathers. Somebody say amen to that. Perhaps that is why 80% or 82% of men in prison have a problem with fatherless homes. Perhaps crime can be correlated to the absence of fathers in the lives of people. Majority of people that you speak to that have gone through prison will tell you that they have a problem with their father. That's why God's word is powerful and true. What is the word father means? Let me just break this down before I move on. The Hebrew meaning of the word father is the word Abba, which is the Hebrew word that means your daddy, your father. The Hebrew meaning of that. And the Greek word is called what? Pater, which means source, nourisher, sustainer, supporter, founder, protector, and progenitor. That's why you cannot just make babies and not become that. Oh, hello, somebody. You have a vision before you go out and create a human being, because you are responsible for the growth of a nation and a community. God created man to be a father, the progenitor and the supporter of generations. That is why there is no seed in woman, and male is designed as a progenitor. We are suffering from the absence of fathers as models. The greatest crisis for man is the absence of fatherhood role models. Women are the greatest sufferers. Hello, somebody. Why? They suffer twice. They suffer first if their father is not a good father. And they suffer the second time if they marry someone who didn't have a good father that is treating them like debt. Women suffer twice from men. We have it easy, men. But the women, they suffer twice. The Bible says they come under your covering as a father of the house. They left their father and came to be under your covering. So you young women, listen to me. If you're going to get married, first of all, you need to ask your friend, has he got a job? And has he got a vision? And if he doesn't have that, you tell him, go get a job and get a vision. And then get a haircut while you're at it. Because I'm quite, tell him, you, this is from your father of the house to you, daughters. You tell that person, I'm quite happy with the covering of my father. Why should I leave that to come and live under you? Oh, hello, somebody. Why should I come and destroy my own life to come and live under you? You go get a job, get a life, get a vision, and then love me, love God first. Hello, somebody. Love God first before you come and tell me you love me. Because no love of the world is real unless it's from God. Hallelujah. Women suffer twice. Women demand from men that they can't deliver because men did not get it from the Father. And that is the sad tragedy of our world today. Here's what you do if you didn't have a good earthly father. Listen to me, and I listen to me, all you mothers and all your daughters. And you men, listen. Matthew chapter 5, verse 48. Jesus said, therefore, you shall be perfect just as your Father in heaven is perfect. This is for both men and women. If you didn't have good father as a role model in a home, then listen to what Jesus says. The answer to the problem is that you should use God and His fathering of Jesus Christ as a perfect role model for you. There is no other role model of fathering except coming from Jesus and His Father God. Hallelujah. When you study the fatherhood nature of God, one of the greatest components is God is character. Fathers provide character. Listen to what Jesus said. I'm going to be staying on John for a long, long part of this message. John chapter 6, verse 46, he says, "Not anyone has seen the Father except he who is from God. He has seen the Father." John chapter 8, verse 19 says, "Then they said to him, 'Where is your Father?' Jesus answered, 'You know me neither nor my Father. If you had known me, you would have known my Father also.'" Listen to his words. He's saying, look, the Father is always reflected in his children. They don't have to see the Father. They just have to see the child to know what sort of father it is. Hello, somebody. They don't have to come looking for you and saying what sort of father you are. They just have to look at your children, because you create the character of your children. Hallelujah. So you need to understand that. The character of the Father shows up in the children. That means a good father is always conscious that he is creating good human beings. Hello, somebody. He is building a human. And the survival of a family, a community, a church, and the survival of the world depends on you creating great human beings. And become good fathers to your children. That's sons and daughters. There are many men in this room who do not want to be like their father. Hello, somebody. They do not want the character. It is a tragedy that many men don't want to be like their fathers. This is why God wants the truth of this to be told and addressed, so that you can find the Father that you can be like, which is God Himself. Yeah. If you can't find the Father, then look to God. Amen. Look to God as a role model for your Father. Hallelujah. He's already given you the spirit of adoption. In the book of John, chapter 8, verse 37 to 42, Jesus made a statement to the religious leaders who wanted to kill him. And they were talking, guess what? They were talking about fathers. And listen to what Jesus says. He said in verse 37, he says, "I know that you are Abraham's descendants, but you seek to kill me because my word has no place in you. I speak what I have seen with my Father." Ooh, hallelujah. "And you do not want you do what you have seen with your father." They answered and said to him, "Abraham is our father." What a bunch of ignorant people. Jesus said to them, "If you were Abraham's children, then you would do the works of Abraham. But now you seek to kill me, a man who has told you the truth, which I heard from God. Abraham did not do this. You do the deeds of your father." This is Jesus. Now listen to them. Listen to these people. And this is the key scripture. You've got to listen to this. "Then they said to him, 'We were not born of fornication. We have Father God.'" Just let me paraphrase this for you. They literally said to Jesus, this is what they said, "You do not know your father. You don't even know who your father is." Now you've got to remember, during this time, there was a rumor going around that Mary was pregnant and Joseph wasn't the father. This is what they were referring to when they were accusing Jesus, when they said to him, "You do not know your father." They're saying to him, "You want to talk to us about fathers? You don't even know your father." Because of the rumor that was going around at that time. So they were basing all the accusations on that and telling Jesus that, "Don't talk to us about fathers, because you don't even know your father." That's what they meant by, "We were not born of fornication." That was just a way of saying it. Now you have to remember that. The religious leaders were actually referring to that. They were saying, "You want to tell us about fathers? You don't know your father." That was really what they were saying when they were saying, "We were not born of fornication." Then Jesus said these words in verse 42. He says, Jesus said to them, "If God were your father, you would love me. For I proceed forth and came from God. Nor have I come of myself, but he sent me." In other words, Jesus said, If you knew my Father, then you would know me too. But because you do not know the Father, you do not know the Son. Therefore, he says, you are of your father, the devil, and the desires of your father you want to do. Hallelujah. They were claiming Abraham was their father. Jesus said, no. You're not even Abraham's father, because if you're Abraham's sons, you would do what Abraham did. But you are not. You belong to the devil. Jesus quoted that and says, you belong to your father, the devil. That is why it is important for you to find a man that you can look up to and emulate. Because fathers produce character. Look at the son, you know who the father is. Look at how the family is going, you know the husband is on the word of God and he's building his foundation based on the word of God. They just look at the foundation, they know the house is in order. Hallelujah. Listen, that is why it is important for you to find a man that you can look up to and emulate. And it might not be your biological father. Hello, somebody. But you better find a father, because you need someone to get your character from. I'm standing here as the father of this house, and I've adopted so many sons and daughters because I want them to emulate the character of God in my life. If they don't find it from their biological father, then find it from somebody who's got Christ living inside of them, so that you can emulate the Father inside that person. Hallelujah. Because fathers produce character. Jesus said, you are doing the things that your father do. Why? Because that's what the children do. Children copy what their fathers do. If the father's going to do that, the children says, maybe it's better. It's great. We can do that. And when you do that, it is impossible for you to try and come and talk to them about truth, because they've seen your life. So if you're not at the place of bringing your children to that place, don't say anything. Get your life right first so that they can see it and they know that they can follow that, because you are listening to your Father God. Hallelujah. John chapter 10 verse 30 says, I and my Father are one. Many of you are saved, but you're still suffering from what your fathers have done. You may be saved, but you will always be bitten down and harassed by this generation spirit if it is not dealt with and confessed, denounced, and destroyed. That is why good, spiritual, upright men are destroyed in church. You can come here and pretend to be in Christ, but you are getting destroyed by this generational spirit and curse that is in the fathers. Came from the fathers, the great-grandfathers. Hallelujah. That's why, man, when you build your man's ministry, stop floating around with sharing other word of God. Deal with those things first. Deal with the fatherhood foundation first. Otherwise, you're playing around with truth and just having a nice men's club. Those are the things that have to be dealt with seriously inside the church, so that men can rise up and become men and fathers that their sons and daughters are looking up to. Become role models according to what Jesus says. Hallelujah. Fathers, listen to me carefully. If you have children, male or female, your job is to make them just like you. Hallelujah. That's your job. Your number one job is to make them like you. Why? Because the Word of God is the only way we can model ourselves to our children. Fathers provide language and belief according to Jesus. The power of the father's language affects the language of the children. Ever wonder why people curse all the time? Check the environment they're in. That F word has become the favorite letter in the alphabet. There's a few other words that go with the F word too. Hallelujah. Don't go quiet on me. Say, yes, Pastor, that is very true. I'm speaking truth. I am not going to be hiding around sweeping things inside the carpet. We're going to deal with those things open so that you can say, yeah, there's something wrong with me. I need to get it right. I'm not afraid to speak truth. I want this church to walk in truth. When people walk in this door, they will sense truth even before they can hear the word. They look at you and go, now that's truth. I know this person is true because I can see the presence of God just coming out of his life. Hallelujah. John chapter 8, verse 28, when Jesus said to them, when you lift up the Son of Man, then you will know that I am he, and that I do nothing of myself, listen, but as my Father taught me, I speak these things. Your language, the way you talk, you teach your children that way if you speak like that. That's why Jesus said, you can hear nothing from me except from what I hear from the Father. Amen. Very important principle. These are formulas that we need to put into our lives. Stop looking at the world. If the revelation of God doesn't change you, then nothing will. Nothing can change you if you're a person that hardens your heart. What good is a revelation from God? What fresh... Oh, I had a revelation from God. Listen to me. If it doesn't change you, and if you're not walking in that revelation, that's a waste of time. Doesn't work for people who just hear it and get excited about it and get a good pimple about it. It's people who walk in it. Amen. Hallelujah. I talked about walking last week. John says walk. Hallelujah. John chapter 5 verse 19. It says, then Jesus answered and said to them, most assuredly I say to you, the Son can do nothing of himself but what he sees the Father do, for whatever he does, that the Son also does in like manner. This is a powerful principle. Jesus is showing you and I what a father and a son relationship is all about. Hallelujah. Amen. A good father puts words in the children's mouth. Somebody say amen to that. Amen. Negative or positive, you put the words in your children's mouth. Yeah. If they hear you cursing and saying things all the time, they will follow you because that's your language in your environment now. John chapter 12, verse 49 to 50. Come on, fathers. You got to be saying amen, Pastor. You're the ones that are going to be shouting louder than the women. And if you're quiet, that means the truth is getting to you. Amen. Hallelujah. John chapter 12, verse 49 to 50 says, for I have not spoken on my own authority. Oh, hallelujah. But the Father who sent me gave me a command, what I should say and what I should speak. And I know that his command is everlasting life. Hallelujah. Therefore, whatever I speak, just as the Father has told me, so I speak. Wow. Now that's a father and a son relationship. I don't say anything except from the role model, my father, God. This is what Jesus is implying. If your father is a man of faith, a man of hope, a man of good influence, you'll end up having those kinds of words spoken. There are many, many young men who don't want to say what they're saying right now. But that is all they know. That is the kind of environment they grew up in, listening to their fathers cursing and their mothers cursing, everybody, and their friends' fathers, their father's friends in the house. Jesus Christ was so affected by his father that he would do everything that his father told him to do. His father told him something so unbelievable. Listen to this. Oh, this is powerful. His father said, listen, I'm going to tell you something. And Jesus, because he's so connected with his father, so influenced by his father, that when his father speaks, he just obeys his father. Ooh. And his father said to him, listen, I'm going to tell you something. You're going to go down and you're going to die on that cross, but I will raise you up again. Wow. Jesus obeyed that. He didn't question the Father. And then he came down and he says, I am here to die on that cross for you. And I know that my Father said if I do that, he will raise me up again. Amen. Jesus is obeyed because he so trusted his Father that he could do exactly what his Father said, even to die on that cross for you and I. Everything his father told him to do. His father told him something so unbelievable, and he went and did it. His father told him, if you go to earth and you lay your life down, you will be what? Raised again. So the Bible says Christ came to earth, and he says in John chapter 10, verse 18, no one takes it from me, but I lay it down for myself, of myself. I have power to lay down, and I have power to take it up again. This, listen to this, this command I have received from my mother? No. From some professor in school? No. From my teacher? No. From my father. Oh, I feel the anointing of the Father and the Son right now. Hallelujah. In other words, my father told me that. Therefore, I'm going to go and die on his word. Not anybody else's word, but on my father's word. I will go down and die on that. Give your children faith words, my friends. Words of life. Not curse words. That is the greatest thing you fathers can do, is give your children faith words. Speak faith words over them. Speak the word of God over them. Hallelujah. And not only speak it, live it. Walk the walk. And talk the talk. If you see the way the children behave, you can tell what kind of a father they have. Fathers, teach by example. Here's what Jesus said. John chapter 8, verse 38. He says, I speak what I have seen with my father. And you do what you have seen with your father. Hallelujah. Fathers, determine the behavior of their children. If you see the way the children behave, you can tell what kind of a father they have. Now please notice that there is no mention of mothers ever in the scripture. Why? Because mothers are nurturers. They're carers. That's their job. But fathers set the standard. The mothers receive instructions from the father and gives it to the children. You fathers go and get your instructions from God. Get your instructions from God. Give it to your wives so that she, when you're at work, she is the one that will give the information, instructions to your children. That's how family works. You don't let the mother do all the searching for the word from God. You do it. That's your job. You set the standard inside the family. Lift the bar to where Jesus Christ's bar has been lifted. And that's where you operate from. There is no other level of operation when it comes to the kingdom of God. Jesus said, you have heard that you shall not commit adultery. But I say, if you even look at somebody, you've already committed adultery. That's the standard that Jesus operates on. Fathers, set your standard on that level. Hallelujah. Young man, young woman, set your standard on that level. Hallelujah. A man grows up in a home, every time his mother gets his father upset, the father beats the mother all the time. And the young man grows up, 3 years old, sees the father beating the wife, beat the husband. 4 years old, sees the father beating the mother. 5 years old, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, up to 30 years old, all he knows was violence and how his father was treating his mother. Then he comes and marries you at the age of 30 and beats you up. And he's a worship leader in church. Oh, hello, somebody. Yeah. And he's a deacon in the church. And he's a person that goes to church for 25 years and still beats his wife. That's all he knows. Hallelujah. Some men have not yet been delivered, not just from violence, but from other things they have seen their fathers do. Fornication, lying, stealing, taking drugs, cursing, the oppression of the power of the father. How can we measure a father? I'll tell you how we measure a father. How? Jesus told me that. John chapter 14, verse 9-11, he says, Jesus said to him, have I been with you so long, yet you have not known me, Philip? He who has seen me has seen the Father. So how can you say, show us the Father? Do you not believe that I am in the Father, and the Father is in me? The words that I speak to you, I do not speak on my own authority. Now listen to this. But the Father who dwells in me does the works. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father is in me, or else believe me for the sake of the works themselves. You set the standard, my friends. If they can't believe you from the words that come out of your mouth, then believe how you behave and walk before your children and public and people. Hallelujah. Jesus is telling us that fathers literally create sons. So when you see the son, you see the father. All the mothers will be saying, amen, pastor. Amen. And don't look at your husband. He's accountable to that word. Just say it. You're not going to go home and say, what did you say amen for? I say amen because it's the truth. That's what you should be saying to him. Right now, I'm restoring your marriage just from the word of God. Amen. Ooh, hallelujah. See, I don't like counseling. I'll just give you the word. You deal with it. John chapter 14, verse 24, it says, he who does not love me does not keep my words, and the word which you hear is not mine, but the Father who sent me. Oh, hallelujah. If your father beats your mother, curse your mother, or indulge in fornication when married to your mother, or indulge in drugs and alcohol all your life, and then you get married to a wonderful woman, and you love, you try to love her, but you can't love because you don't know how to love. But your father never told your mother that he loves her. You will not be able to love your wife the way Jesus loves us. Hallelujah. That's a Father's Day message that should be preached every Sunday. Father's Day should be every Sunday. Because the church cannot be right until the men are right inside the church. The devil is not worried about the women. Not because the women are powerless. Because he knows the principle. He knows what God has set as foundation. That's why they're trying to not only rub everything out, they want to cancel everything out. John chapter 4. Take a deep breath. You're getting very quiet. Pause. Selah. Take it in. Hallelujah. Don't look at each other and go, that's your word. It's everybody's word. Fathers create the beliefs and the philosophy of their family. John chapter 14, verse 39, it says, but that the world may know that I love the Father as the Father gave me commandments. The good father gives his children what to do in their lives. Fathers give commands to their children. I'm proud when I sit down here and my children says, my dad's my greatest role model. And you're proud too when your children say that to you. Not only your sons, but your daughters. Hallelujah. My father was the greatest role model in marriage. He was one wife, eight of us altogether. I have never heard my dad swear at my mom or beat my mom. He was the greatest role model when it comes to marriage. Hallelujah. And that's what he taught me of what marriage should be like. And he didn't sit down and told me about it. He just lived it. My father is not a man that sits you down and says, listen, son, this is what you're going to do. Never. He just lives the life. Hardworking man, goes to work, comes back, gives the commands to the wife. And the wife's the one that gives us the instructions. And then when we don't hear, out comes the belt. I get the hose, not the belt. There's a hose that's, come here, you. Yeah, we should be doing that to our children. Yeah. Hallelujah. Bible says, pick up the rod. Yeah. If you don't, they'll walk all over you. Yeah. I came from a family that was strict. My father was a strong Catholic, but he gave his heart to Christ through my mother, who was a born-again Christian. Hallelujah. But he was my role model. He taught me everything about honoring the woman that you marry. Hallelujah. John chapter 15, verse 9. As the Father loved me, I also have loved you. Abide in my love. Listen, my grandfather was involved in a cult. And he was the head honcho of this cult. And they call it in Bougainville, Bougainvillians are so caught up in cargo cults, you wouldn't believe. And if you know Bougainvillians, and all the Bougainvillians say amen, well, they're all gone quiet now. My father is the head honcho of a little cargo cult thing called Baby Garden. In the modern terms, we call it a brothel. But in those days, they call it the little baby garden, where they bring all these young women into this place where they make them pregnant. And that was it. I broke that curse in my life when I came to Christ. I said, that stops. It will not go to my children. It will stop from me. It will not go to my children and my children's children and the great grandchildren. And my line, the Hakalitz line, coming from Ben Hakalitz, will be clean all the way down because of the blood of Jesus in my life. Yeah. You men need to sit down and think who your great-grandfather is. Sometimes we want to do things in church, but we keep getting caught up in this thing, and you wonder why the devil is having a field day with you. Go back and check where you came from. Go back and check what your great-grandfathers were doing. This is not some little Hollywood story. This is real stuff. You're dealing with principalities and powers of high places. The devil doesn't have to do anything to you. He's already caused it to happen throughout the generations, and it just goes. And if we don't realize that and break it inside our lives, you will always get harassed and never come into the place where Christ wants you to be, walking in victory every time. Amen. How did Jesus learn to love? John chapter 15, verse 9, it says, as the Father loved me, I also have loved you. And then he says, abide in my love. Jesus had such a solid self-worth. He had a strong self-esteem. Why? Because his daddy, God, told him that he loved him. Tell your children that you love them. My son always comes to me, gives me a hug. Dad, I love you. Always, never miss. Even if I'm just sitting there, eating, he just walks past, gives me a hug. Hey, Dad, love you. Walks into the room. Just like that. It has become such a... It's his thing now. He doesn't walk around and not tell me that he loves me and gives me a hug. And you know what it does to me? It brings me to this place where I know that my children are going to walk in a good place. Amen. Hallelujah. Listen, mothers, daughters, women need to marry men who got love from their fathers. Because the men didn't get love from their fathers, they're treating women like rubbish. That's the truth. Don't sit there and go, no, it is the truth. Yeah. Hallelujah. As the Father loved me, I also have loved you. Abide in my love. I don't just like to shake people's hands. I like to give them a hug. I call everybody who's my spiritual son. And listen to me, age doesn't solve anything. The Word of God is Spirit. A father figure in your life, a spiritual father figure in your life is important. Age doesn't matter. I call everybody a son and a daughter when they come to this house and sit under the covering of this church. Because I'm the father of this house, you are a spiritual son and daughter to me. I have an obligation to stand here and deliver the Word of God to you so that you can walk in the path that God wants you to walk and go and do the same for your children. That's the overseer of becoming a spiritual father. And if you don't have a father, then I am willing to stand here and not take over from your dad's role, but become your spiritual father. To speak into your life, to correct you, to talk to you. If you've got something to speak about, come and talk to me. That's what the father figure role model is all about. That's why you go and find somebody who's already role model himself or herself to God, then you can go and talk to the person. Hallelujah. Your mother may always say she loves you, but what about the fathers? What about our fathers or us fathers saying that we love our children? It is the fathers that make it happen for the children. Not because they're special, because it's the principle. I talked about the formula. When God lays down principles, that's how it operates. If we break that, we will live in ignorance and darkness all our lives. The principle foundation was laid down and it will never change, no matter what the world does, no matter what all the women's league does, or all the, what do you want to call them, do. It doesn't change the fact because the Word of God is Spirit and it comes with power. And if you change it, you will suffer the consequences of it. John chapter 15, verse 15 says, no longer do I call you servants, for the servant does not know what his master is doing. But I have called you what? Friends. For all things that I heard from my Father, I have made known to you. Hallelujah. Listen to this. Can I ask a very simple question to you? Can you tell your friends everything that your Father did and taught you and what you saw? How confident are you to be able to sit down with your friends and tell them about your father? Is it good advice to give your friends what you saw your father did? Come on. It depends where the advice is coming from. If your father is a role model and his word and his actions abide in his book, then you can tell your friends about your father. Because he lives the life of God. But if your father is involved in drugs, alcohol, fornication, pornography, all this stuff, then how can you tell your friends and be proud of what your Father is doing? That's what Jesus said. Hallelujah. You are supposed to be a good father so that your son can counsel other men based on your character. Ooh, hallelujah. Your son can use you as a role model character to speak and counsel other people. Your daughter can use you as a role model to speak to other of their friends that are going through some problems. They can use you, hallelujah, because you imitate Christ. Paul says, imitate me, for I imitate Christ. Then you and I can do the same. When we start to imitate Christ, people will always come to us and say, we want an advice from you, because we see something about you that we don't see in any other person. Give that opportunity to your daughter and your son to be able to use you as an example. Hallelujah. Fathers give standard for friends. Proverbs chapter 27 verse 10, it says, do not forsake your own friend. Oh, this is powerful. Do not forsake your own friend or your father's friend, nor go to your brother's house in the day of your calamity. Better is a neighbor nearby than a brother far away. Wow. This is so powerful. It is very important. Let me tell you what this means. Fathers, listen carefully. Can your friends be your children's friends? Oh, hello, somebody. Do the men you hang out with, are they good enough to be your daughter with your daughter by themselves when you're not watching? Come on, these are real facts of life we're talking about. There's incest and things, rape and all these things happening inside the house by the father's friends. So the question to us this morning is, can you trust your friends to be close to your children? Can you trust them? Can the men you hang out with, can they be with your son and teach him everything they know? Ask yourself these questions. That's why I'm serious about changing your friends. If your friends are not the right friends, change them. You have the power to make new friends. Can I leave my children in your house? Because the Bible says it is better a neighbor than your brother, blood brother, family far away. When you're in trouble and there's a neighbor, can you trust your friend neighbor to look after your children? Those are facts of life. Don't go over spiritual about things. Do the things that He has called us to do. Walk in obedience to the principles and you will see the power of God start to happen inside our lives. Are your friends so good that you can leave your friends or your children with them? Can my son and daughter enjoy friends that I keep? Can my friends that I keep become my friends with my children? I praise God that my children can be friends with my friends. And they call them uncles. Hallelujah. Get out of the room, boy. This is a man's talk. You don't say that to your son or your daughter. Get out, we're talking. What secret are you keeping from your children? Can you talk openly before your children? Hallelujah. Fathers, listen, can your friends be your children's friends? Fathers, set the standard and that your children can have relationship with everyone that cannot have relationship with you. Hallelujah. John chapter 16, verse 15. I'm getting there slowly. Hang in there with me. All things that the Father has are mine. Therefore, I said that He will take of mine and declare it to you. Man, if we're going to follow role model leadership and fatherhood, follow Jesus and His Father. Go and study these words that I'm speaking to you right now and follow them and apply them in your life. Hallelujah. Fathers, what do you have that your children can possess? Can your children receive all that you have? Are all your secret books, they can be handed down to your children? What books are you reading? Can they be handed down to your children? This is serious stuff. Because we are in charge and responsible for our community, our church, and our nation. And our nation is not right now because we have raised children that are disobedient to the Word of God, disobedient to the principles of God. Friends, can I say this to you? This message is for the fathers because no one talks about the power of the responsibility of a man. God says if a man get it right, there will be no problems in this world. I am serious with you. If we get it right inside the church, this church will be a powerhouse church. Because we've got the principles of God in order. This is not about bringing guilt or attacking man. We talk about this to correct what is wrong, to heal what is broken, and create the future that our kids can enjoy. I am not standing here and pulling down man. I'm bringing some principles that I applied in my life that worked. I can't be where I am right now if I still live the way I used to live before. Until I change and make some changes in my life. Then I started to see the power of God started to operate. We talk about these things. That's why man's ministry. Go and talk about these things. If you're going to gather some men together and talk about these things and deal with those things. Because without that, we're just floating around in the air. You want to see the power of God move in the church? Deal with those things in the man's ministry. I don't want to be sitting around discussing scriptures and trying to go to heaven somewhere. We live on earth. And families are broken because men are not in the house properly. You got to do men's ministry, deal with those things, and bring it out in the open. And be humble enough to say, yeah, I'm wrong, and I need to get it right before God. This is not time to be playing little ministries around the church. That's why I get bored sitting in men's ministry, because people argue about scriptures. And, oh, I need this much, I know this much, and I know that. Let's go. No. Deal with that. If we're going to see power in the church, deal with that. Deal with truth. If you receive truth in the church, then deal with it in your ministry. Because this is not just ministry. You are creating human beings to function in a community, in a family, in a nation. You want to change Australia? Change what we have inside the church. I am so serious about these things. Because I said, God, how much time do I have being a pastor of this church? He may take me home tomorrow. I've been in church too many long time. Too long time. I'm tired of church. I'm tired of playing politics church. I'm tired. I was prepared to just stay at home. We need to listen to this and do things the way God wants us to do it. How much time have we got on this earth? I don't know how long He's got for me here. I don't know how He's got for you here. Then do these things and let's see some changes inside the church. Hallelujah. I always talk to you truth and as the father of this house. I will never stand here and give you a message, not a message. I don't want me coming standing here massaging you. Hallelujah. I will always give you something that I see that's dear to God's eyes and has to be dealt with. If I see something, I will deal with it with the word of God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It is not about bringing guilt or attack to you men. We talk about these things to correct what is wrong. Amen. To heal what is broken and to create a beautiful environment for our children and raise amazing men, God-fearing children that are going to stand on this pulpit. If God tarries and Jesus Christ still tarries to come back, then our children are preaching on this pulpit truth. Hallelujah. Man, if you're going to get together for men's ministry, please do this. Invite me. I'll come and sit down and talk with you guys. But you don't have to invite me. You men know the word of God. But go and deal with those things that are very, very important to God. Because otherwise we're just scooping the top. And all the skeletons are underneath. John chapter 20 verse 17. Jesus said to her, "Do not cling to me, for I have not yet ascended to the Father. But go to my brethren and say to them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father," hallelujah, "and to my God and to your God." Notice Jesus didn't put Father before God. He put Father before God. Why? Because He wants you to know God as your Father before He became your God. Jesus wants you to know His Father as your Father before you worship Him as a God. Because you cannot emulate God. Oh, hallelujah, somebody. But you can emulate a father. That's what Jesus said. Now he's your father. I'm going to my father, who is your father. Your God. My God, that is your God. Hallelujah. He came to restore us back to the Father. He is now our Father and our God. In other words, can you recommend your father to father others? Can you father's children here, you children, listen to me. Can you recommend your father to father other children that do not have fathers? That's your question this morning. Hallelujah. Can your children recommend you, fathers? This is your question. Can your children recommend you to their friends to become their fathers? No. Oh, hallelujah. No, no. I'm getting that a lot from my friends, my children's friends, my sons are always talking about, oh, we know your father. Their children, their friends are telling them, we know your father. That is them validating what God has placed in my life. That they can become witness of your father, even without you saying anything. Children, can you recommend your father to father others who do not have fathers? And fathers, can your children recommend their friends, you to become fathers to their friends? These are key things in the kingdom of God we got to understand. Family is not just making babies. God didn't want you to have a family to just make babies and throw them out everywhere. God wanted a people that will call his name. That's why he created the nation of Israel. But Israel rebelled. And you and I have been engrafted into this vine. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And we now become the spiritual Israel. Hallelujah. God wants a people that will worship him in spirit and in truth. Nothing else, nothing more. Hallelujah. Jesus, my father, did a great job with me. I hope I did a good job with you. Jesus will be saying that. If my father has done a good job with me, then I hope I have done a good job with you. I hope I trained you the way my father trained me, not by my mother, but my father trained me. Hallelujah. I know you did not have a good relationship with your father, but let's start with you. Jesus says, learn from him because he learned from his father. If you haven't learned from your father, learn from him. He learned from his father. And that's, these scriptures are not just scriptures you read and get over spiritual about it. These are fundamental principles of life. Hallelujah. That way, let your children say great things about you that you could not have said about your father, or that your father could not say about you. Let Jesus say great words about you that your father has never said about you. As the Father has sent me, I also sent you. Hallelujah. Proverbs chapter 10 verse 1 says, a wise man makes a glad father, but a foolish son is the grief of his mother. Proverbs chapter 15, I'm just closing with some scriptures quickly. 20 verse 21, Proverbs 15 verses 20 to 21. A wise son makes a father glad, but a foolish man despises his mother. Proverbs chapter 17 verse 21, he says, he who begets a scoffer does so to his sorrow. And the father of a fool has no joy. You can reverse those and put sons in there, and it still has an impact. Amen. This is talking about fathers, but if you put sons in there and reverse that, it's still hitting you wherever you turn it. If you reverse those scriptures and put the father in as a person referred to by scripture, it is still powerful. Fathers can cause confusion in the family. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 4, this is my last scripture, 2 before I close. It says, and you fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training and admonition of the Lord. Colossians chapter 3, verse 21 says, fathers, do not provoke your children, lest they become discouraged. Let me tell you what that means, in case you get so highly spiritual about it. That means they will no longer have any hope in society, turn into criminals and end up in prison. Notice all the instructions are what? To the fathers, not the mother. All the instructions that Christ gives are to the fathers. How do you provoke a child? By saying something and doing something different. By having a cigarette and telling your children not to smoke. Oh, I can go on. By not practicing what you preach, I can just generalize that. Yes. By trying to instruct your children, but you yourself do not walk in truth. Oh, hallelujah. Yes. Come on, these are real facts of life. Yes. Now we get it right by denouncing those things. Humbling yourself. See, humility is the first step to salvation and to change. If you're a proud person, you will never change. God says, keep your pride. That belongs to the devil. I will not touch that pride. But if you're a humble person and say, God, you know, in talk, patient, me blessed, dog, me no good, man. I'm done. Hallelujah. Let's pray. Let's stand. Papa God, I thank you. I thank you for the truth of your word. Lord, if fathers have never received words like this, I pray today that we all receive it. And Father, before you, we humble ourselves. Because we know you, your word says if you humble yourselves, you will lift us up. That's your word. Because pride comes from the devil. It is because of pride that you kicked him out of that place that he was in. And it is still his tactic, the way he's been doing things here on this earth. Father, I pray them for the man in this church this morning. I thank you, Lord, for your word. And I pray, Father, this one prayer. Hallelujah. That every man will be accountable to this word. All of us, including me. And Father, that all the mothers will hold us accountable to this word. And I pray also, God, that our children, our sons and daughters, will hold us forever accountable to those words. Hallelujah. Because only through that, and only through dealing with this situation openly and confessing, because you said to confess our sins before one another. And Father, here today, we say, help us to confess those sins before one another. Because only through that we'll be released from all this. And the truth that we have known now shall set us free forever and ever. Hallelujah. Father, I thank you for your word. You said it is, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set us free. And I thank you that you said those words. I thank you that you have, oh God, become our Father through your Son, Jesus Christ, because of the spirit of adoption. He has shown us how our father should be. He has shown us how we should love our children. He has shown us how we should love one another and our wives and our families and our neighbors. And I thank you, God, that we have these great principles and formulas that you've already given us, that we can take on life and plug our problems into the principles of your word, oh God, to see the Spirit operate and change the situation in our lives. Papa God, I pray this over your people this morning. That they become proud fathers to the children. That the children look at them and say, we love you, Dad, because you are a great role model to us. And Father, help us, those who are still struggling in this area, to become role models in our families. Because it's never too late. It's only through the confession of our sins, our pride, our arrogance, that you're able to deal with all the situation in our lives. Papa God, I pray over your people this morning. I pray that your father, the fathers will have a great day today with the children. That the truth, oh God, shall be spoken inside the church, inside the family. That we became the agents of change, oh God, first in ourselves, our families, then in our church, then into the community, and into the nation of Australia. Hallelujah. Because you are establishing your kingdom. And Father, we have become co-heirs of this kingdom. Hallelujah. That we will rule and reign with you in this kingdom. On that we stand. On that promise we stand and believe, Lord, that we're not just a church down the corner, but we are a church. This is about truth, the principles of life. Father, I pray and I bring everyone before you today. We give you praise. We give you honor. We give you glory. In Yeshua's mighty name, I pray. All God's people said, amen. Happy Father's Day, all the fathers, all the uncles, all the mothers.
Hallelujah. Amen. Amen.